Dan was harassing Marcus Vick on Twitter like a year ago and got blocked by him.
Dan, are you a Twitter troll?
He's the only person I've ever trolled. I've been blocked by one person in my life, and it was Marcus Vick. He said something about like going to jail was tough, and I said, well, Michael should have went longer, and then I got blocked.
That's worth it.
And then some Eagles fan went crazy and started writing stuff to me like, if I find you, I'm going to whip your ass. Eagles for life. I'm like, what?
Hello, folks. Welcome to the Take the Points Bowl Game Extravaganza Part 1. We've been off for a couple weeks, but we are back. I'm Tom. I'm here with Dan and Ryan. And today we are going to take you from the 15th of December, the New Mexico Bowl. We're going to talk about the games up through the 22nd of December with the Hawaii Bowl. So we got about 15 games to cover. This is part one. We'll do part two next week. And we have a lot to get to. But before we start with the games, I'm going to throw it to my co-host Dan Partridge. Something we do every year, Dan, is we tell people what to look for and what to think about when you're betting college football bowl games, which are vastly different from the regular season. So tell the people what they need to consider.
Thanks, Tom. Yeah, bowl season's very unique. It's unlike anything else in all the sports. Motivation really plays a key part, probably the number one largest aspect outside of the playoff itself. You have to look at coaching changes, see which head coaches are gone, if they took coordinators with them, if coordinators are gone on their own. You have to see if players are sitting out now for the NFL draft. You have to see when the game is, how many of their alumni and local, area people are going to make the trip. There's a lot of factors that go into it, and I really like the bowl season because, as opposed to a lot of sports betting where most people focus on a lot of X's and O's and, you know, numbers and stats, this has a lot to do with the other side of sports betting, the motivation and all the external factors. So I personally really enjoy college bowl season. It's my favorite thing to bet probably in all of sports betting every year. So excited to get this rolling tonight, Tom, not going to lie.
Yeah, I've been reading a lot of previews in preparation for this podcast tonight, and one thing I noticed is a lot of people are breaking down the games as if they were just a regular season or a championship-level game, and I don't think many people still consider those factors. I mean, we've seen motivation is huge, where they're playing is huge. We'll get to this later, but when you go to Hawaii in the Bahamas, Stan, you're not playing any defense there.
Not so much.
Yeah, when you go to Detroit for the Motor City Bowl or the Little Caesars Bowl or whatever it is called this year, the motivation is not as great as if you're going to, you know, Florida or Texas or someplace warm.
Exactly.
We'll get to all that. I do want to talk about the over-under theory, but I want to give Ryan a chance to chime in. You know, anything you think we should consider or anything you're looking forward to, Ryan?
No, I mean, like Dan said, he covered most everything. You know, where they're playing, I think, is a big deal, and what their preseason expectation was, or even not even preseason, more of like their 3 weeks ago expectation. You know, what's changed in the last 2 to 3 weeks or 2 to 3 games that may have shifted the peak that their season could actually reach. So, you know, that's the other thing I always look at, too, is just where they're playing and, you know, what their expectation was maybe a month prior.
Yeah, very important to consider all these factors. I really agree with you guys that this stuff is more important than the X's and O's in a lot of the games. But anyway, we're going to break down the first 15 games. But first, I want to talk about the over-under theory. This is something, Dan, that you discovered in a forum, I believe, about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And we learned about it 3 years ago, a little bit too late to put it into practice. 2 years ago, we cleaned up with it. And then last year, it wasn't quite as good, but we still did pretty well doing this. So I'll share the theory. You correct me if I get anything wrong. And it's 2-0 so far. And, you know, there's no guarantee, of course, but I think we're going to try this again, and anyone who wants to join us in this can. So the theory is that in college bowl games, people come in, I guess, overhyped or undermotivated, or for a number of reasons, there are a lot of half unders. So what you do is you bet one unit on the under in the first half. And if you win, you're done. You take your money and you go home, or you stay home, most likely. If you lose, then you bet two units on the second half under. So let's just say, hypothetically, you're watching the Bahamas Bowl. You find the first half under and you bet $10 on it. If you win, you keep your $10 and you're done. If you lose, you then go and bet $20 on the second half under. And this won something like, you know, 34 and 4, 33 and 5 over the last couple of years, Dan?
Last year, there were eight games in which the first and second half overs came in. So it was just over even money last year. 2 years ago, there was only three, and the year before that, only two games out of like 40 does not come in. So you'll be plus one unit. You know, I mean, if that happens again, you'd be plus one unit in 38 games and minus three units in two games. So you'd be plus 32 units for the bowl season. So,
yeah. And even last year, when it was a little more of a struggle, a lot of those games were flukes or were tough ones. So I have faith that it's going to come in. The only downside of this, if you live a, you know, busy millennial lifestyle like the three of us, like, you actually have to be able to sign on to your sportsbook account at halftime of the game. So you only really have like a 15-minute window. So yeah, it's hard to do. And you want to really bet every game or as many as possible to make this worthwhile. So you've got to be on point, especially on the first Saturday, the first couple Saturdays when there's like five games. It gets a little tricky.
Making money is not easy in this world, Tom. You got to do what you got to do. If you got to, you know, log on to your sports book, I mean, I'd rather log on to my sports book than go out and, like, you know, rake leaves or shovel snow or whatever you guys got going on. I guess you guys are shoveling snow. What the hell am I talking about, leaves? There's no leaves left December 12th.
No, we got your, that's where you're wrong, Dan. We've got this weird, because of, you know, shifting climate patterns, we now have an overlap in leaves and snow. So I'll rake leaves one weekend, then it'll snow the next weekend, and then I'll have to shovel, and then the snow will melt during the week, and then I'll have to rake leaves the following weekend. So it's really great. I know you guys miss it being out there in Arizona.
Sounds lovely. I miss it.
Anyway, when all that's done, you know, then I can go down the road to Rentschler Field and watch some nice UConn football. And then I can say that I legitimately saw, as we said before the podcast started, the worst team in all college football, Dan.
Yes, excellent work, Z, on the UConn Supercut 28-minute podcast, by the way. I enjoyed listening to that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I was going to throw in a plug for my own work, or our own work. We were off last week, but I put up a Supercut of UConn football. So if you're just listening to this and you haven't heard that one, I recommend going back. It was the first ever podcast that really made me uncomfortable, Dan. And we've said a lot of offensive and crazy shit on this podcast, but like, that one, the amount of, you know, negative things we said about UConn football, all, of course, true and well-deserved, but it did make me a little uncomfortable to realize we basically went on for about, if you count the stuff I cut out, we did a good 50 to 60 minutes of just bashing UConn throughout the year on this podcast.
That's more actual hard work immense than the UConn football team put out on the field this year, so... You know.
Yeah, I'm willing to say that I put more effort into podcasting, or more effort into editing last week's podcast, than some of the game planning.
For sure.
All right, so we start Saturday, December 15th, this Saturday. We're recording on Tuesday. No, what night's tonight? Wednesday night.
Yeah.
So the lines you're about to hear are current as of Wednesday night, of course, subject to change. Albuquerque, New Mexico. Out in your guys' region of the country, the New Mexico Bowl. Utah State is a 7.5-point favorite over North Texas with a total of 68. So I have a few thoughts on this one. Number one, we talk about coaching. Utah State, while they are the superior team in terms of talent, they have lost Coach Matt Wells, who's off to Texas Tech to replace Cliff. And Frank Mail will coach the bowl game before they bring in bring back Gary Anderson next year, which I have a lot of thoughts on, but that can wait till next year. Jordan Love versus Mason Fine. This is an awesome QB battle. You know, if you haven't seen either of these teams, two exceptional QBs. Should be a high-scoring game. North Texas's wide receiver, their top wide receiver, Rico Bussey Jr., is questionable for the game. So that is something to look at when you're betting. I'm going to make my pick first, and then you guys can go. I love Utah State. I've talked about them all year, but every year we talk about these things that you talked about in the beginning of the podcast, and motivation, coaching changes being huge. And every year I go against my own wisdom. This year I'm going to stick to our actual rules, and I'm actually going to take North Texas with the points. And the reason being the coaching change. Matt Wells, who has brought considerable success to Utah State this year, is now gone. And so I don't know what will happen, but I'm going to take those 7.5 points.
I agree, Tom. Like North Texas and the points, they got the number 21 ranked offense in the country. And that's with their quarterback missing about a month throughout the season. Little known fact, Stone Cold Steve Austin went to North Texas. And
that is a little known fact. I did not know that.
Felt like putting that out there. Therefore, North Texas plus 8 is definitely the pick.
Yeah, I'm going to make that a clean sweep. If you can get this over a touchdown, it's absolutely worth it. Like Dan said, the North Texas has a great offense, great passing offense. So the back door is always going to be open with them. So, you know, if it's over 7, absolutely take the points.
Stone cold. That was stone cold analysis right there on take the points.
Dan, I don't know what else you're bringing to this podcast, but I don't think you're going to have any stats related to the games that are as interesting or impressive as that. So
I kind of went out with a bang on bowl one. And also,
congratulations, you've peaked on bowl one.
He played football at North Texas.
Even better, I didn't know that, so we're definitely taking him. Them. yeah, from here it's pretty much all downhill. So, but I will mention one more thing about this game. This game's usually crazy. I've seen this game have snow. I've seen this game be a shootout. I've seen favorites lose outright. It's pretty crazy. So avoid laying more than a touchdown in the Albuquerque Bowl every year, and for sure with a team without a coach and a bunch of their assistants. So kind of like North Texas. All right, game two, let's do it.
All right, game two, Saturday the 15th at 2:30, Camping World Stadium in Orlando, Florida, the AutoNation Cure Bowl. This is Tulane, a 3.5-point favorite over, listed as Louisiana on the sheet, but of course we know this is UL Lafayette. And the total is 59. So I've got a strong pick if you want me to go first.
Go right ahead.
Sure. I'm going to make the case for Tulane. 6-6 overall record. However, 4-1 in their last 5. And, during those 5, what's changed is that their starting quarterback was injured during the season, and the backup quarterback, who is a LSU transfer, actually came in and went 4-1. So the starting quarterback's now questionable, so there may be a controversial situation. I'm assuming in my pick that they're going to stick with the backup who won 4 of the last 5. Anyway, they might be 6-6, but they're playing some really good football, and they're really peaking at the right time. They beat Memphis and South Florida during that streak of 4 wins, which is pretty impressive when you think about Tulane. They've also fired their offensive coordinator, who had a bit of a rough season, and they've brought in a new guy who will be here for this. You've also got motivation. Tulane has not been to a bowl game since 2013, and they also lost that game. So I feel like they're coming in with a ton of motivation. And then the last stat, all-time record against ULL, Tulane is 22-4 in this rivalry. So they've kind of owned it. I'm going with Tulane. I'll lay the 3.5. I will also take an under of 59 because both teams are more run focused. So I think 59 is a little bit high. That's my pick.
All right, Tom, I'm going to respectfully disagree. I like ULL for a couple different reasons. Yes, Tulane was 6-6 and made a bowl. They were they were favored in their last game against Navy. They had to come from behind and win that game just to make a bowl. They celebrated quite heavily. I watched the game. After the game, now this game's played in Orlando, Florida, which is a nice vacation spot. This is their first bowl game in 5 years. Any of the seniors on their team, this is their first time to be on any sort of vacation. Good spot for them to mail it in. On the opposite side, ULL, their new coach, by the way, again, we always kind of like to look at new coaches and how they do throughout the year. ULL started 1-3, finished 6-1 down the stretch. Their coach is part of the Nick Saban coaching tree, and in fact, his nickname on campus is Nick Jr. for how much he models his behavior after Nick Saban. So you got one team happy to be in a bowl game in Orlando, Florida for the first time ever, playing against Nick Jr. Well, I'll take Nick Jr. in 3.5, so give me ULL.
That is a very good argument, Dan. We'll throw it over to Ryan for the tiebreaker.
I'm pumped up for this bowl season, Tom. I'm ready to go.
You bring it. I tried to tell people in the last podcast that, like, we sort of fuck around all season, and especially as it gets later in the season, we go from, you know, real big breakdowns to, especially the teams that are out of playoff or a New Year's Six contention, we're like, oh, LSU at Texas A&M. Yeah, LSU seems good. Lay it. But when it comes to bowl season, you know, we take the week off. We, you know, go on a little sabbatical. Mm-hmm. We reflect, we take time to find ourselves, and we do a lot of Googling.
A lot of Google.
All right, Ryan, break the tie.
I'm just going to go with the tiebreaker to me goes down to the quarterback, and I like Tulane's quarterback, the lefty from LSU. The kid throws darts. He can run around a bunch. I just like what he brings to the table. So for me, I'm going to go with Tulane.
Good.
Real quick, Tom, before we go on to the next game, speaking of break the tie, in the last week of the college championship week, you guys, I think, both lost your picks. Or I won. I finished with 8 wins, tied Ryan. Tom, did you win or lose?
I have no idea.
Because I think you won and all of us tied with 8 wins.
I think, yeah, I think I recall it was just a 3-way tie, right?
Yeah, we all finished with 8 wins.
Well, that was a waste of time.
So, yeah, moving
on. 8-5, though, 8-5 times 3 is pretty good. Like, all those guys used to go on, you know, K-Rock radio in the 90s and be like, we finished 58% on the year. And so I'm not good at math, but I think we're way over, you know, whatever it was that those guys finished when they would sell their picks for like $100 for the season on, you know, 90s rock radio. You remember that scam, right?
Call in. Guaranteed winners.
Yeah, you'd call up to like Rain Man on K-Rock and you'd be like, hey, Rain Man, who's going to win this like ULL-ULM game? And then, you know, he would, for $100, they would sell you this package of picks. I don't know how it worked. I never did that. If I could go back in time, I wouldn't like kill the baby Hitler. I would just like sign up for some of these scams and things that I am curious about.
I'd like to know
how
they work.
Yeah. I mean, in hindsight, I'd pay $100 to get more information and find out how that worked.
Absolutely. I agree, Tom.
We call up Ryan's bookie and be like, hey, dude, I got these picks.
Speaking of a guy who may have call to service, Herm Edwards is involved in the next
game. Dan, is that the cue to move on? So yeah, we got the Las Vegas Bowl Saturday, 3:30 p.m. Fresno 5.5-point favorite over Arizona State. I have in my notes, send this to Ryan for what is the final Herm watch of the season, unless something crazy happens.
So
tell me about the bowl stuff.
I got an opportunity in the off time to catch up on some Herm press conferences his pre-bowl game last press conference, got some interesting tidbits. So, a few things. One, they are planning on playing a lot of backups and young guys to see how they do. He even said, despite Manny Wilkins playing in his last game as a senior, he plans on playing the backup quarterback a bit. That can't be good.
Yeah, well, it's nice of him to let us know.
Yeah. He's said the same thing about his defense. Now, here's the funny thing. They already start 6 true or redshirt freshmen on their defense. They already start 6 of them, and he's like, we're going to get a bunch of young guys in. How much younger can you get? That's a little bit interesting to me. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Enough X's and O's. That's all Herm had to say about that.
That's all really we need to know from Herm.
So here's what Herm had to say about the bowl experience itself. So they're going to actually take a bus up to Vegas and fly back. They're going to take the bus up because Herm spent pretty much half of his press conference talking about how excited he is to get milkshakes on the way up. And he had an explanation that basically the players think that there's only 3 types of milkshake: chocolate, vanilla, strawberry. But he's got a whole new milkshake to bring to the game. He won't reveal it, but he said all the players, once they see it, will be copying him. So he's real excited about this milkshake situation. The players were talking about it in the locker room. They're like, we don't know. Coach Herm just loves milkshakes. We're interested to see what he's talking about.
No, now wait. He's going to stop at an unspecified location on the drive to the bowl to get milkshakes at a special place?
Correct.
Or is he like making them?
No. They're stopping on the way. That's part of the reason why they're taking the bus, is so they can stop and get milkshakes on the way.
But he's not telling them where.
Maybe the players know, but he's not saying in the press conference, probably because he doesn't want, you know, people showing up.
Yeah, you don't want Arizona State fans and or milkshake enthusiasts stalking you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, especially since there's so many options on the road between Phoenix and Las Vegas. Because there's one road and there's only like 2 options.
Herm is going to take these guys to Dairy Queen and be like, check out this Cheesequake Blizzard. And he's going to be like, blows your mind. And they'll be like, Herm, we're young. Like, we know about Dairy Queen. Like, we didn't grow up in the 1950s when there was only 3 flavors of diner milkshakes.
Here's the hilarious thing. They have 6 buses worth of people for this game. 6. Herm doesn't ride in the first bus. That's all he'll say. He doesn't tell the players what bus he's going to ride on.
Oh, he's like the president.
And he doesn't sit on the front of the bus like all coaches do in every sport. Herm just picks a random bus and sits in the very back. And as the players get on, that's like they just get on a bus and they're like, ah, fuck, coach is back there. And they can't at that point turn around and get off and go to a different bus because then Herm's going to know. So that's pretty interesting to me. As a former player and coach, I've seen both sides of that. The seniors sit in the back of the bus, the coaches sit in the front. That's the way it works, but not with Herm. So here's the funny thing. 6 buses worth of people. There are 2 places they can stop on the ride up. Only one of those places offers the milkshake that he mentioned. That would be the In-N-Out Burger in Wickenburg. So I'm going to breaking news for everybody. If you want to meet Coach Herm Edwards, if you want to see the most overwhelmed goddamn 19-year-old working a cash register in their life, wait till 6 buses full of ASU football people show up and start trying to order In-N-Out Burger from the one cashier who's there on like a Wednesday night. It's going to be a shit show. They're going to spend 2.5 hours trying to get food there. It's hilarious. Dan and I have made this trip. We've stopped at that In-N-Out Burger. It's a gong show on like a Sunday afternoon. I can't imagine what it's going to be like when six buses show up and Coach Herm's trying to organize this. So for all those reasons, just give me Fresno.
I love the idea of Herm being amazed by and excited to show off something that any college student is very, very familiar with already. You know, like, fellas, check this out. It's called a drive-through. You just drive up and they give you your food. You don't even have to go in.
You got to remember, Tom, In-N-Out Burger is only on the West Coast.
Yes.
So Herm hasn't been around In-N-Out Burger. So to him, this is mind-blowing stuff.
Yeah. So this is exactly what's happening. He's presenting this as if he's going to blow the mind of all these, you know, Arizona and California kids who have eaten this stuff since they were 5 years old.
But they do put Bible verses on the bottom of their cups, and Herm loves that.
What are the odds he'll have a new, like, play package, an offensive package called Animal Style for this game?
Hi.
Oh, he's going, yeah, they're definitely going to go Animal Style, and they're going to lose by 20.
All right, so I didn't have a pick for this game, but I'm after that extensive breakdown. This is what we're talking about. You know, you get more than the stats at Take the Points.
Well, got the stats.
I'm Fresno State all the way on, after that one.
You want stats, Tom? I got stats for you. Fresno hasn't given up 30 points in 31 games. Next closest in FBS is 14. McManaman or whatever is quarterback, 25 touchdowns, 3 picks. It's, you know, all that looks great for Fresno. That's the positive. The downside is they finally beat Boise on the blue turf. They won their conference, and their victory is to go to Las Vegas and then play Arizona State. So watch out for the Las Vegas flu for Fresno State. On the other side, Arizona State somehow hasn't lost a game by more than a touchdown all year, which sounds crazy to me, but it is true. They are going to play a lot of different players. It's really hard to say. If it wasn't for Herm, I would honestly take Arizona State, and not because of his coach, like, of, you know, just him being a good or bad coach or whatever. It's just I don't know what to expect. He might not play anybody. He might treat it like a freaking, you know, exhibition game 100%. This is really hard. For bowl confidence pool picks or whatever, I'll take Fresno just because I've liked them all year. But the real play in this game is the under. Under 58, if you figure Arizona State isn't going to score 30, and the fact that Arizona State's defense is actually pretty good on paper, they only give up about 25 points a game. Fresno State gives up 13.7, so 58 seems way too high for me. So I'll take the under. That'll be my gambling play.
So it's already dropped to, you know, 53.5, 54 in some places. So I think a lot of people are on board with that. I still think it's a safe bet.
Always. Oh, every fucking time. All right. Moving on.
All right. Good breakdown, fellas.
Yeah, not bad.
All right. Staying on Saturday the 15th, this one at 5:30 p.m. in Montgomery, Alabama, the Raycom Media Camellia Bowl. This is one I don't have a good feel for. We've got Georgia Southern, a 2.5-point favorite over Eastern Michigan, over under 47.5. So I don't really have a strong feel. I feel with a point total that low in a bowl game, I think I would lean an over. But other than that, I don't have a pick. So convince me of one of the two.
I'm going to make the case for Georgia Southern. First of all, rule of thumb, bowl games, if two teams were playing with a, like, north, south, east, west in their name, both of them, the game usually sucks. This is one of the cases with Georgia Southern and Eastern Michigan. Good point, Tom, that this game is being played in Alabama. I think Georgia Southern will have more fans there. Not that they're going to have a ton of people there, but we'll have more fans. Anyway, here are my notes. Georgia Southern runs the football all day. Eastern can't stop it. Georgia Southern is from Georgia. Eastern Michigan is from Michigan.
Good notes.
The pick is Georgia Southern. That's all I have on that game.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that was sort of where my mind was leaning based on limited information, that closer to hometown team. And I guess I will take a directional Georgia team over a directional Michigan team.
That's correct. This game's so bad that Ryan's left the room and said, "I got nothing on this one." So we can move on.
If you assume that these teams get the runoff from the bigger programs in the area, then you're talking about like guys who couldn't quite make it at Georgia and Alabama versus guys who couldn't quite make it at Michigan State.
No, it's like the guys who couldn't quite hack it at like Tennessee State couldn't. I mean, the guys who can't hack it at Alabama are starting at fucking Texas A&M. You know?
That's right. Anyway, that's a good segue to Middle Tennessee State, who is one of the teams playing Saturday at 9 p.m. in the R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl. Appalachian State is a 6.5-point favorite over the aforementioned Middle Tennessee State, over-under of 50. So what do you got, Dan?
App State has been a great story in college football for a long time now, but especially the past 3 years. Their coach done a great job there. 3-0 in bowl games, 3-0 conference title games. App State's been ranked from time to time. Now he's off to Louisville. You have the interim coach alert. App State likes to run the ball. Middle Tennessee State pretty much only throws the ball. Where's this game being played, Tom? The Superdome.
That's right.
Therefore, I'm going to take the passing team inside the Superdome and take the points. So I'm going to fade the interim coach and take the team that can throw the hell out of the ball at home, getting 6.5.
So that, on paper, that seems like the pick to me. Both teams have been pretty good all year. App State has been, I would say, the better team, but if we're going by the rules we laid out at the beginning, the coaching thing is a reason to stay away from App State. The only reason I hesitate in this is because I've watched these teams each a few times, and App State looks impressive. I mean, they've looked really good. I think I saw a ESPN thing about a mock like FCS, or not FCS, a non-Power 5 playoff that they were joking about, and they said App State would have been one of the four non-Power 5 teams that would have been in the playoff, you know, meaning they're one of the best four non-Power 5s, along with like UCF and I forget the other two. They're real good is the point. And Middle Tennessee State, while they've been pretty solid all season, I really was unimpressed with them in their championship game with, you know, both the effort level and the quarterbacking and the kind of the play calling as well. Despite being favored, they lost that game and just didn't look great. I guess I'm going to stick with the rules, as I said I would do, but I don't feel good about this one. So I will take Middle Tennessee State with a very low confidence. Oh, I like the over, though.
Yeah.
That's my
pick. Superdome, and it's only 50.5 in a college game. Good call, Tom.
Yeah, that's my pick.
Real good pick. All right, now, the next game...
Ryan, do you want to weigh in on that, or should we move along?
No, I do not.
Those two games were passes, okay. But Ryan's going to weigh in heavily and get some props Ryan's, on the next one.
Ryan's going to weigh in on the Cherry Bundy Boca Raton Bowl.
Oh, Boca.
Not only is this in Lane's new hometown, it also features Bill Clark and UAB, a 2.5-point favorite over Northern Illinois, total of 43. So this one's right up our alley with things that we've loved this season on Take the Points. So... Ryan, you were all over Bill Clark, Coach of the Year.
Yeah, he was the Take the Points Coach of the Year.
That's right. 2 weeks before that fucking thing got announced.
If I had more effort, more time, and like more motivation, I would stitch together like the last 3 years of just predictions that we have made that no one else on earth has said that were 100% right and came true.
There's a bunch.
So... thank you, guys. Appreciate
that.
That's
a good one.
Bill Clark, that was one of your best calls.
Thank you. And it became official. He is the Eddie Robinson Coach of the Year, which is a big deal. I feel it's important to mention the full name of that award because coaches specifically take a lot of pride in that specific coach's award because it is Eddie Robinson. So UAB all year. You know, last year they made the bowl game after, you know, getting the program reinstated, but they didn't win. This year they you know, they have a chance to end it the right way. Won their conference, won every single game at home. You know, it's just their coach finally got a little bit of recognition, and I'm sure the players really love that because they love him. So for me, this is, you know, a monster play. And even though we wait to the end of the podcast, I'm using it now. This is my lock of the week. I'm taking it before either of you scavengers can steal my team, because this is my squad. So I'm taking UAB, lock of the week.
UAB Blazers, Roddy White, alumni.
That's right.
I didn't realize we were still doing a lock of the week. I figured we all tied and we were just saying, fuck this.
It doesn't end. It doesn't end yet, Tom.
No, we need a winner.
Even if it's tied at the end of the year, we're still going to do it. We're going to just pick NBA games once a week until it's decided.
Oh, good. I'll definitely beat you guys in that, since you guys...
It's sports betting. It doesn't matter. Just give me either side. You take the other side. I don't care.
We should, like, once a quarter, just pick a random sporting event, and we all have to bet it.
Okay. Don't twist my arm, Tom.
I mean, I'm not talking like the Kentucky Derby. I'm talking like a cricket match or something.
Sure. I'll bet anything, anytime.
Save this recording and use it for like when we go to rehab and we try to deny that we don't have a problem.
We're only eight and a half months away from putting money on high school football, Tom.
Never.
No, that's what you think.
Never.
Tom, ask Dan how many hours I spent on 24/7 going through recruiting stuff with Dan, which
Jesus.
He basically tuned me out after about 19 straight minutes of me going through recruiting stuff.
He's locked in.
Trust me, we're dangerously close to betting some high school football.
Real quick, Tom. Real quick.
Yeah, I've got a thing for this too. Go ahead.
Real quick. We were watching the Arizona State high school championship game. It was on our like version of
Channel 13
Time Warner. I think it's still Channel 13 here in Arizona. Same thing. But unlike our game, where no one actually was going to college anywhere good, I was just totally blown away by the players on each team and the colleges they're going to. The first pass of the game, there's a guy who catches the ball over the middle and he turns on the afterburners and runs up the sideline, but he's like a big kind of, you know, white guy, like very tall. I go, Ryan, who's that? He looks him up. He goes, hold on, this guy is tall. He's fucking 6'5", 220. He's a tight end. Oh, don't worry. Where's he going to college next year? Horns, UT. Then it's like you keep going over the field.
Well, the team that went the big schools, their starting quarterback and starting running back have both committed as juniors to Ohio State. The number one rated pro pocket passer in the country, who signed with Oklahoma
this week,
is an Arizona Phoenix kid.
From Scottsdale. Like, I was shocked at how good the high school football is out here, and these guys actually go play at big-time programs.
The last 3 or 4 years, especially.
Yeah. Hats off.
It's about time Oklahoma caught a break at the quarterback position.
I know, seriously.
I want to say, on a semi-related note, to all the young folks, and especially if there are any young high school football players listening, stop doing the thing where you like wear an LSU hat to your announcement and then you like rip it off and you put on a Georgia hat. Like, we've seen that enough. You got to be more creative than just like, you know, wearing a suit and then ripping open the shirt to show like an Arizona State shirt. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Up your game. I want, like, if you're going to, you know, Auburn, I want a live tiger in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Let's involve some animals. Let's involve like bungee jumping. Let's step it up.
Although I have to chime in, that sounds dangerously similar to those stupid gender reveal videos. Sounds a little too similar, Tom.
A little bit.
And hang on. That hits a little bit close to home, considering just recently here in Arizona.
Yep.
You know where I'm going with this.
Oh, I already know, but please tell the listeners who don't.
The former police officer decided to do a gender reveal out in the desert and set the whole goddamn desert on fire and burned down 65,000 acres. Yep. Caused millions of dollars in damage because he was trying to step up his game, Tom, like you suggested, and have a creative reveal. So be careful, folks. Be careful. All right. I like your advices.
No live tigers.
No missiles. No gunpowder.
No, no. No firearms. No pyrotechnics. No deadly animals. You know, if you go to, like, the Hawks, you can have, like, or some team like the Falcons, you can have a falcon fly in and land on your arm. Keep the live tigers out. I guess if you're going to Auburn, come up with something else.
Smart. I have nothing to add after that. I canceled my comment, and I'm ready to move on to Ohio.
I would like to see someone combine the gender reveal with the school announcement. Have a child and name the child after your school you're going to. This is my son, Auburn Zeleznok.
That's got a great ring to it, first of all.
And it's pretty good, and I'm having a son. By the way, I'm having a kid in 2 months, and we don't have a name, so I'll be looking.
Zeleznok is the clubhouse leader.
I'll be looking at some, like, college quarterbacks to see what a cool yacht club name I can give to my kid.
Tom, just admit it. You're gonna name your son Lane. It's gonna be Lane.
Listen. It's been suggested, and it's been shot down. It's Lane been shot down.
Sounds so good.
Hey. I tried. It's a partnership, you know. Two people got to agree on this.
It's been suggested on his part, not to him. Let me make that clear.
Yeah. Oh, you think you're the first one to just think of this? It's been brought up. It's been denied. Unfortunately, there are a couple college football related names still in the mix. So we'll see how it goes.
What about Taysom?
Steve Spurrier Zeleznok.
Spurrier, yeah. Well, here's the thing I've learned, and this is a serious, well, it's not serious, but it's semi-serious. We learned over the years that the more your name sounds like a yacht, like yuppie yacht club member, the better college football quarterback you will be.
It's true.
You know, whether you're like Tanner Mangum or
then you have to go
Riley Skinner or whatever.
Zane Zeleznok.
But Jacob Coker couldn't throw a football. He got a national title with that swanky name.
Yeah, I mean, listen, things have changed a little bit, you know. Much like the yacht club itself, you know, it's opened up to people of new names and new backgrounds.
I think you should say if Lane's out, then I want Zane.
So anyway, as we go through these bowl games, let's look for some interesting names, because anything's on the table.
Lane. All right. Steve Spurrier is pretty good.
Spurrier Zeleznok? Ball coach?
You wish.
That one, I'm going to go ahead and say that's probably not going to be the one, but we'll see.
If Steve's called the old ball coach, I'm going to call your son the young ball coach, regardless of name, from birth.
I think Lil Ball Coach, L-I-L Ball Coach.
Lil Ball Coach is going to be his name for the first, like, 12 years.
All right. You go for that. You've got my blessing.
Lil Ball Coach, we're going to call the baby. For
like years. Lil Jordan Humphrey.
All right.
You know, I was watching their game, and I guess I haven't watched them much this season. I kept hearing the announcer say, Lil Jordan Humphrey, Lil Jordan Humphrey, and I'm like, seems kind of condescending. Why does he keep calling him that? I'm like, what is it? Is this like his godson or something? Like, why does he give him this pet name? Much to my surprise. No, I found out the
much
truth.
Much to my surprise is correct.
L-I-L apostrophe Jordan.
Yeah. All right. Let's move along in the interest of time.
Ohio.
Oh, where are we at? Yeah.
Ohio.
Oh, here we go. All right, so we're now on to Wednesday, the 19th, 8 p.m.
Big game.
From Frisco, Texas, the aptly named DXL Frisco Bowl.
The DMX Bowl?
The DMX Frisco Bowl.
DMX Frisco Bowl. Listen, am I the only one who can't hear the word Frisco without thinking about Snoop Dogg?
Yes.
Ohio is a 3-point favorite over San Diego State, over under 54. Solich.
There's not much to talk about this game. No one's going to this game. It's like 1,500 miles away from both fan bases. San Diego State's really bad this year. They've underachieved. Ohio plays in the MAC, and it's always a good idea to fade the MAC. Again, I would bet an under. For bowl purposes, I'll take Ohio, but zero confidence. Go ahead,
Tom. I've got the under as my pick. I just want to point out that it is the first ever meeting between these teams, which is somewhat interesting. This will be what I would call like a bottom three bowl game. I have very little interest in this one compared to the others. But to back up the under pick, Ohio, their strength is offense and specifically run game. And San Diego State has a pretty bad offense. Their strength is defense and specifically run defense. So their run D matches up well against, you know, Ohio's one strength. So that kind of leads me to believe that it should be an under. So that's the pick.
This game's going to be horrible. Moving on. Ryan, you got something for this game?
No.
Absolutely not. Okay.
I'll go Ohio just for the hell of it. It's in my pool.
That's in the running for worst bowl game as well, but we're going to move right
on. Yeah, that's certainly up there.
That's bad.
All right. December 20th, Thursday, 8 p.m., Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. Oh, I love this one.
Yeah.
The Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl.
The Sioux City Gasparilla.
Yeah.
Sioux Gasparilla. It's all right.
Okay. So our bad boys for life are Marshall and South Florida. Marshall favored by 2.5, over under 55. Now, this is the bowl game where UConn famously played on the field that I call the dog piss field. It looked like a giant dog urinated all over the field. Like there were just like dark and light spots. And, they actually had to change the name because it was like so embarrassingly bad because the field looked so bad and UConn played in it. So between those two things, they had to rename it forever.
It's true.
This should be a little bit better than that year, but, I dislike both these teams. So I'm going to pass to you guys.
All right, real quick. Marshall has won, I believe their last 4 or 5 bowl games in a row. South Florida's lost 5 games in a row to close the year as called on Take the Points. Charlie Strong is a bad coach, period. Now, this is another weird angle for a bowl game. This game is played at South Florida's home stadium. That is not good, normally, unless it is an exception, like FAU making a bowl last year and playing that bowl game at their home stadium. That was a fun environment. Or Hawaii, we'll talk about that later. This is not good. South Florida's players don't get to travel anywhere. They don't get to play anybody fun. They don't get to try and pull an upset. They get no vacation. They get shit. That's not good. And they get Charlie Strong as their head coach. So I'll take Marshall.
Yep, Marshall.
Yeah.
Fade Strong.
Yeah, shout out to you, Dan, for another strong prediction. I forget what week it was, but you said... I think it was when South Florida played UConn, actually, and you said, enjoy this one because they're not winning another game the whole season.
It's correct. It's going to continue when they lose here and wrap up 2018.
Yeah, so why not close it out with a loss to Marshall?
Yep.
All right. From that bad bowl to I think what has to be in the running for, like, pound-for-pound greatest bowl game in history. Meaning the teams aren't always good, but it's always unbelievably exciting. And the location you can't beat. The Bahamas Bowl.
Yes.
The Makers Wanted Bahamas Bowl. I don't know what that is. But this year we've got Toledo, 5.5-point favorite over Florida International and Butch Davis, 68.5 over under. This is the biggest over under of all the games we're going to talk about today. Mm-hmm. So this will be the shootout, and the Bahamas Bowl is the one that always has the crazy ending. We all remember the, Central Michigan game with all the laterals, which is one of the greatest bowl games ever played. So I'm excited. My pick, I'll make a quick pick here. FIU is a fun team. Butch Davis, who we've mocked many times on the show in previous years, but he's done a nice job down there since coming, and especially this year. And, their strengths match up well against the strengths of Toledo. Their passing game specifically matches up well against Toledo's defense. Meanwhile, Toledo has a good running attack, and I'm not sure what'll happen, but I don't see why that would be slowed down. So there might, you know, you might want to go an over, even though it's super high. My pick is FIU. Toledo, a weird thing last year, they lost the bowl game 34-0. And we talk about these MAC teams and these December bowl games and high scoring and fun and no defense. To go to a bowl game and lose 34-0, that makes me question the motivation, not just last year, but just like somehow how the program or the coaching staff motivates players to go to a bowl game. Like it, you know, much like with Herm Edwards, maybe they just don't really take it seriously. It's more of an exhibition game. So, yeah, so I'm feeling that a little still as I make my pick. So I'm going to lay the 5 with FIU, and I'm going to take the over of 68.5. And definitely watch this game.
Yeah, Tom, I'm going to take I'm going to agree with you. First of all, this is the Bahamas Bowl. It's a beautiful vacation spot. No one really likes to play defense in this game. Like you said, FIU, pretty good, a little bit underrated. Butch Davis actually does a good job there. Toledo hasn't covered a bowl since Matt Campbell left. That's a good stat. I'll take FIU.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, FIU.
All right, it's unanimous. I'm trying to remember the ones where we disagree because those are always the most interesting to watch. All right. From the Bahamas, we go to Lyle Smith Field in Boise, Idaho for the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. BYU minus 12 against Western Michigan, over under NFL low 49.5. Actually, we decided we can't say NFL low anymore, right?
No.
With the Chiefs and the Rams scoring 100. So I don't know what's up with BYU this season. They're wildly inconsistent. They played well against some good teams. They played horrible against some bad teams. They have a great D, and Western Michigan is no powerhouse offense. So my favorite bet would be the under in this game. But if you're going to give me 12 points in a December bowl game and the team laying the 12 is wildly inconsistent, I mean, I would take the 12 with almost any December bowl game, but especially one where there's a chance BYU might just not show up at all. Or even if they show up and play well, it still could be 24-13 since that's their style. So, Western Michigan with the points and an under for me.
Excellent points, Tom. Well, Tom, surprise, surprise, BYU lost their quarterback to injury this year for the 7th time in 9 years. That would explain the wildly inconsistent play.
You say that like it's a weird stat, but it's the same two guys for 9 years, Dan. We've been over this. Like, it's just two very injury-prone guys.
Allegedly. But, you know, honestly,
Taysom Hill somehow gets less hurt returning kicks and getting tackled by 11 guys in the NFL than he did dropping back against the defense of Fresno State.
It's true. That's a good point. I don't know how it's possible.
I don't understand it.
I pretty much agree with you. I don't think BYU scores enough to lay 12, so I'll take Western Michigan.
For sure.
Even though I've gotten every BYU game wrong the entire year. So.
And for that reason, I'm going to fade Dan. I'm going to take BYU.
There you go.
Good. I don't know that Western Michigan is going to score at all.
That's valid. 13-0 final.
There's a good chance this game ends like 23-0, 23-3. So I'm taking BYU.
This is my lowest confidence pick. I'm not betting this fucking game. I want nothing to do with it. Just get BYU 2018 off my radar.
If this game ends 13-0 or 20-0, if it's a shutout and BYU scores under 20, I'm putting them on a 5-year watching probation. I'm not watching them again until 2023.
They're pretty much unbearable.
All right.
4 games left.
Saturday the 22nd. Legion Field, Birmingham, Alabama. The Jared Birmingham Bowl. He's, I think that's Melissa Birmingham's brother. That's your upstate joke of the day.
It is not the guy from those Subway commercials. Guaranteed.
No, he's currently occupied.
He's got other commitments.
Yeah. Memphis -4 against Wake Forest. Interesting matchup. I lied about the over under before. This is the highest over under of the day. 74.5.
Very
shootout.
High. Very high.
Spill it. You've been on Memphis all year. Why don't you take this one?
Ah, thanks. Yeah, I have been on Memphis the last few years. Love Memphis in this spot. They're only losing their offensive coordinator this season, which is crazy. It's Memphis football, and they've lost their head coach or offensive coordinator like 3 or 4 straight years now. So they're just pumping out a great coaching tree. They're putting up a ton of points. Their running back is a monster. You know, I thought probably the second best running back in the country this year. So for me, I love Memphis, and I love the over too.
Dan?
Oh, yeah. Memphis. Daryl Henderson. Memphis.
All right. I am also picking Memphis. I think they're a solid team. The loss of the coordinator doesn't affect me the way some other coaches would because of something we talked about a couple weeks ago with certain programs. We won't talk about Temple today, but I'm sure you've all seen the Temple new interim coach getting all fired up to play Duke.
That was amazing. Great video.
I know. And I watched that. I'm like, this is what we were talking about the other week. Temple only produces good coaches. And I think Memphis might be the same. So next man up, you know, not like some other schools where like they get their one good coach a generation and then they lose them. Like, I feel like Memphis is becoming a little coaching factory, kind of like Temple. So for that reason, and because I just, you know, Wake Forest has been all right, but they played in a very down ACC, and it's hard to judge them. Nothing I saw from them looks spectacular. And so we'll go with the smaller team that it probably means a little bit more for them.
Yes. And Tom, I would like to throw in now before we forget a big congratulations to Dino Babers on his contract extension. Congratulations to Syracuse football fans. Like you were just saying, one great coach and then nothing for a decade. Good for them. I hope he does stick it out for at least the majority of that extension. You know, 2-3 more years if they could get out of him would be a huge win in Upstate. So just want to throw that out there. Congrats to Dino. Congrats to Upstate. He's a hell of a coach.
Yeah, wait, renew those season tickets, kids.
Who would have thought, you know, new coach, high-scoring offense would maybe generate some interest in the program? Maybe not like a Randy Edsall run it up the middle and punt it in the woods kind of guy. Punt it into the woods is probably UConn.
It doesn't make sense, and yet it's somehow the perfect description of UConn's offense. All right, Dan, we did our UConn super extravaganza. We're done with UConn for the year.
We're never done. It's like my Buffalo Bills. Every week we talk about UConn. All right. Speaking of the Buffalo, now we're almost there.
No, we're not doing that either. You know, otherwise Ryan and I will have to spend 10 minutes talking about the greatest rushing quarterback of all time.
I knew you were going to say.
Sorry, Michael Vick.
Yeah. Step aside, Ron Mexico. Big dick Josh Allen's coming for you.
Ron Mexico, can you please? Okay.
I totally forgot about that.
I'll never forget about that.
Best fake name ever if you're in Mexico. When in Mexico, use the name Ron Mexico.
Don't give a fake name when your photo is on the cover of Madden Football.
Yes, that too.
They're not going to buy it. That gonorrhea is going to get caught regardless.
That is the Madden curse, though.
Marcus Vick's going to come after you now. You know that, right?
Well, he can't find you because he's blocked you on Twitter, Dan.
That's true.
All right.
That's funny.
Well, there's no good segue from that into the Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl.
We We were talking about Memphis Wake Forest there, right? How did that happen?
Yes. Please transition from the Ron Mexico jokes into respect for the troops. As Army is, congrats, Army, coming off the big win over Navy. I was not aware that the Army-Navy game is the most watched college football game of the year. I guess I should have known that, but that was news to me.
It's the only game on. Don't worry. That's because it's the only game on and it's on CBS. I'm not buying it.
But do you guys watch it? No. I never watched that.
No. No minutes.
Dude, just every veteran watches that game, and that's why it's number one?
Other people like it. They're like, yeah, look how much they care. And I'm like, they've been caring all year. You should have watched fucking Oklahoma and West Virginia. They cared in that game anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, I found that interesting. So anyway, they are -3 against the Oliver-less Houston team. 60.5 is the over-under. Dan, why don't you talk about this? Because you were talking about Ed Oliver and the mess that is Houston football.
Yeah, I really like Army a lot in this game. Houston's defense isn't good, hasn't been good all year. I mean, Oliver really isn't that big of a loss, to be honest with you. The problem is, again, their star quarterback's out. He had over 50 touchdowns this year. You know, he's not playing. They're playing the Armed Forces, you know, fucking bowl game against Army. That's not good for Houston. Spread's only 3. I think Army's just going to run the ball a billion times and score like 45 points, so... Big fan of Army in this game. I think it's this is one of my favorite picks of the whole bowl season.
Yeah, totally agree. I love Army. I think they're going to just run the ball all day, and Houston just can't stop the run.
No.
I agree 100%. My question for you guys, what is worse? What's a worse bowl draw? Being the bad team in the Armed Forces Bowl, like the non-Armed Forces team that has to – take on Army or Navy in the Armed Forces Bowl, or being the SEC team that always has to play the one non-Power 5 team in the New Year's Six?
The SEC team, because you can only lose. Like, even if you win, it's like, and if you lose, it's like, oh, that's embarrassing.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you got embarrassed by UCF.
Yeah.
But if you beat them, it's like, well, of course you beat UCF. They're no good.
Exactly. So in this game, no one really cares about it. It's a mid-level bowl, so
yep.
I think that's fair.
Our whole childhood, every year, the easiest bet of all time was to Navy to win the Navy Federal Credit Union Poinsettia Bowl in San Diego next to Coronado Naval Base.
Yeah, next to the fucking ship.
It was always the easiest bowl to bet.
Yeah, because they're going to by the naval base and they're, you know, performing, they're playing for their brothers there. Meanwhile, the other team is off in Coronado getting wasted.
They're like, oh, fish tacos are good. Why don't they have these in Ohio?
Dude, this Coronado Hotel, they serve drinks right on the beach.
Yeah, a lot better.
Yeah.
All right, we're pretty much unanimous there.
Yeah, unanimous pick for our men in uniform. Army, lay it.
Good.
The Dollar General Bowl. Huh. Something slightly less prestigious than the Armed Forces.
So fitting to this freaking game.
Yeah, this is
this is low rent.
Oh, Buffalo being in the Dollar General Bowl is on brand.
Oh.
On brand for the city and for the team, although they're pretty good this year. So they're -2.5 against Troy. 51.5 total. Spill it. Buffalo. Kick it off.
Give me Buffalo, man. They've had a great year. Choked away the conference title game. They led that game for 58.5 minutes and just choked it away at the end because they couldn't put their foot on the throat of Northern Illinois. So, I think this is a bounce back spot for them. And I think this is a game that they, you know, really want to want to take care of business in. So give me the State University of New York.
Where's the game being played at?
So here's the thing. This game's in Mobile, Alabama. Oh, so for Troy, it's almost a home game.
Yeah.
But it's not a vacation.
Yeah.
For Buffalo, when you're from Buffalo, going to Mobile, Alabama is a fancy vacation.
That is a very fancy vacation.
However, you won't have the fans there. So it's kind of a, toss up.
Yeah.
Bills fans are everywhere. We'll be there breaking tables.
You know what?
Do you think Bills fans will be at this game in like Josh Allen jerseys?
100% yes. And
they won't be in Kelvin Benjamin jerseys.
No, they won't. And you know what? That is going to sway my pick. We're going to take UB to win this game and cover. Yeah, I think they will have some fans who will make the trip. Why not?
You think Buffalo will premiere new freshman quarterback John Callen, 6'6" dude with a mustache?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Got to get him some extra reps.
He'll be looking good running everywhere.
Okay, last game that we're going to talk about this week. This one goes right to you, Dan. Also on the 22nd, 10:30 p.m. Eastern time. So you can let me know how this one wraps up at, 3 a.m. my time. Hawaii, -1 against Louisiana Tech, over-under of 60. There's one thing we know about the Hawaii Bowl, and that is defense optional.
Okay, this is awesome. Okay, first of all, hats off to Hawaii for making a bowl game after a bunch of bad years. I'm going to give you a little history here, Tom. This game was created for the University of Hawaii because back in the day, before this game was created, even if Hawaii had 9 or 10 wins, they would not have enough people and alumni and, people who rooted for them to travel for a bowl game. It was, they had teams who won 9 and 10 games who played in no bowls. Very interesting. So anyway, this game is very special to the University of Hawaii because it was created just for them, which is very cool. Anyway, they started hot this year, had a slump in the middle. Cole McDonald, the freshman, had a bruised lung. It wasn't looking good. The backup came in and actually looked really well and actually motivated Cole and pushed him, culminating in a big win at San Diego State to end the year. Now they're at home playing Louisiana Tech. Old WAC rival, by the way. These two have a lot of history. Again, where's this bowl? What's the motivation? What's going on? La Tech's getting on a plane from Louisiana. They're going to Hawaii. They are happy as shit. Nobody cares if they win or lose this game. Hawaii hasn't been in a bowl game in a couple of years. It means a lot to them. I think Cole's going to play great. I think he's going to put on a show. I think Hawaii is the pick for sure and the over. And it's a great, fun game. This is one of my favorite bowl games every year. Go Rainbow Warriors!
Touchdown, Hawaii!
You're the best.
Great analysis, Dan. All I'm going to add is I am so upset that this game is on the 22nd and not on Christmas Eve like it always used to be. It was always so fun going back home to the East Coast, Christmas Eve night. It's late. Kind of up, still like wrapping presents for the next morning, usually for me. I love watching that game on Christmas Eve night, so I'm kind of bummed it's not on Christmas Eve anymore. Take Hawaii.
Agree with all that. Over 60. Do it.
Okay, so Ryan's pick was the UAB Blazers. I'm going to change it completely up on you. I'm going to take under 58 Arizona State, Fresno State.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, clearly I'm unprepared. oh, you know what? That BYU under is looking pretty good, too.
13-0 coming right up.
Yeah, they're bad.
Both teams are bad.
Yeah. Give me.
You want to hop on that under steam?
All right, BYU under 50. But yeah, other games I like, Buffalo, Hawaii, Army. Let's see.
I like Army, Memphis.
FIU.
I like ULL and Army. Those are my two favorite today.
All right, that sounds good to me. Nick, you know, I also kind of like North Texas with the points.
So. Yeah. I'm excited for the first games on Saturday. Like, there's like these first five. I mean, look, they're not amazing or anything, but I'm interested in a couple of them. Like, I'm going to fall asleep during Georgia Southern and Eastern Michigan, but, I mean, I'll definitely wake up for the second half of Middle Tennessee State.
Yeah, I think that you're not going to get the best teams, obviously, in December, or especially the first week of December. But what makes a good bowl game is contrasting styles, high-scoring teams going against each other, interesting matchups, young coaches who are on the way up, things like that. And I think you've got a lot of that in the first handful of games. So I think the, you know, committee or whatever, the bowls, they did a nice job putting these together this year.
Yeah, totally.
I agree.
So we will be back next week and we will kick things off with the First Responder Bowl, and we will go probably all the way through the playoff. And so, you know, those are the real good ones. That's when it really starts getting into the Power Five heavy hitters, starting with, you know, Boise, Boston College, all the way up to Alabama, Oklahoma. So we hope you all tune in for that. Anything else either of you want to add before we take off for the week? Dan, I'm kind of pissed that we made the call about a Tua winning a Heisman, and then they decided to go and give it to Kyler.
If you listen to the first prediction, it said he will win one in 2019 or 2020. So this has a potential to be an even better call, that we said, no, it won't be next year. It'll be the year after. So right now it stings a little, Tom, but it's going to pay off. Just let it simmer there in the back burner for another 12 months, and it's going to all come around. Don't worry.
Hey, good luck to everyone who has to play Tua once he's healthy. Mm-hmm. Enjoy that. Have fun.
Next year, Alabama's, I mean, if you thought this team was good, I mean, just imagine, like, the whole offense is back except for, like, Damian Harris. Like,
yeah,
doesn't matter. Najee's better anyways.
I mean
Damian Harris is nothing special compared to the other guys they've had there over the years.
That's my point.
All they're losing is they're gonna actually lose their left tackle and their center.
Yeah, they'll replace them.
They'll find someone. Yeah, and you've got guys like Jerry Jeudy now going to be a sophomore when, you know, people take sort of the biggest leap. So they're going to be pretty good, and they're going to be potentially angry depending on. Can you imagine if they lose in the playoff and Tua loses the Heisman? You watch out if you're a Tennessee fan. You're losing 100-0.
99-0.
If you're in the SEC, you better pray they win the national championship this year.
So excited for these games. I mean, we're only 2.5 weeks away. It's closer than you think. I mean, you know, everyone's focusing on Christmas, but, you know, it's going to come up early this year. Christmas on a Tuesday, whatever. Mm-hmm. Don't care, really. Move forward to Saturday. We get Clemson, Notre Dame, and Alabama, Oklahoma. That's more important.
All right. Well, we'll leave you with that. We're excited. We hope you're all excited. And that's it, folks. See you again next week. Bye.
Yeah. Step aside, Ron Mexico. Big Dick Josh Allen's coming for you.